Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ian Schur is an editor-at-large at CNET, frequently joins us on WGN to answer questions about the web and business. Hi, Ian. Welcome back.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What's Parler?
What is Parler? That is a long question.
I ain't got a lot of time, sir. What's the short answer?
So Parler is a social network that is meant to be an alternative to Twitter. And I should say was a social network because it has been knocked off the internet. The reason is because as an alternative to Twitter, it was really something that attracted some of the more extreme people on the internet that couldn't use Facebook or Twitter. They'd be knocked off of it. And Parler said, well, we don't moderate our stuff as much, so feel free to come over here. And as it naturally happens, Parler soon became a place where a lot of the really darker parts of the internet congregated, and ultimately we found out actually openly in public view planned the attack on the Capitol.
Is it an app like Twitter? Because I know Twitter you can access multiple ways, but a lot of us just have it on our phone. Was or is Parler just an app that you subscribe to, that you download?
It's very similar to Twitter. So it's got a website, an app, all sorts of stuff. I should say, again, did have it, past tense, because Apple and Google over the weekend knocked it off of their app stores, so you wouldn't be able to get it there. And then by the end of the weekend, Amazon actually stopped supporting the app through their web hosting service. So all of the code that makes the app run was actually shut down and not allowed to run on Amazon services anymore. So now the owner is suing, or the CEO, I should say, is suing Amazon, and he's trying to find a new person to run the service with. But unfortunately, almost every major provider on the internet, whether it's a web hosting provider or even a place that does that actually does financial support, right, running credit card numbers and all that, all of them have said that they don't want to work with them.
I suppose if they changed their terms of service, if they were a quote-unquote less dangerous site, then these other platforms would support them. I mean, I know that people will blush maybe at the way I'm about to put this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. They weren't shut down because of their political views, correct?
No, they were shut down because they allowed dangerous extremism to run rampant. And I think that that's what is important. You know, I think that the debate about conservative censorship on the internet needs to kind of go to bed for a moment, and we need to actually talk about the dangers of the internet, because one of the things that was made very clear is that on last Wednesday is that this is no longer a debate about mouthing off on the internet and pissing people off. This is about actually inciting people to violence and creating mobs that end up with five people dead, including a Capitol Police officer. And, you know, on the internet, the First Amendment does not run. It's up to the companies. And even in the real world, we have limits on the First Amendment. You are not allowed to incite violence. You can go to jail for that. You can also end up getting sued for slander or libel. There are a lot of important things to keep in mind. And when it comes to extremism like this, we need to take this seriously. It's no longer a philosophical debate.
Well, if Google or Apple or Amazon did not want to support that app, that means of communication, isn't that a private company doing whatever the heck it wants for whatever reason? Do those companies have a legal obligation to support Parler or any other site?
You know, the analogy that I heard a colleague in the news world say that I really liked was you have to think of it like the internet is a bar, right? And all these companies, you know, they basically have their own bars, and they can toss out any unruly person they want, right? Just like, you know, you have terms of service, right? You become unruly, you're out the door. And I think what's important here is that these companies are effectively forcing consequences. And it's something that I have talked about and seen at many times. Part of what has led us to this point is that there have been no accountability and no consequences for bad behavior on the internet. And I think that we are now at a point where the companies, Facebook and Twitter in particular, but also Amazon and Apple and Google, are starting to reckon with the fact that their platforms played a part in what happened on Wednesday, and they are not happy with that.
I think looming, though, in the background, and not that far in the background, maybe in the foreground, is, though, this sort of First Amendment idea. I know that Senator Hawley from Missouri has spoken about this, particularly since Simon and Schuster, a traditional media, not electronic media, but decided not to publish his book post-Wednesday. And he said, that's silencing me. Go ahead.
I think he needs to read the First Amendment, because it's important to keep in mind exactly what's going on. Again, Simon & Schuster is not a government entity, so they are not silencing him. They are choosing not to work with him. And there are still plenty of avenues for him to publish his book. Amazon has a self-publishing system where many extremists, by the way, publish books. ProPublica has written about that. And also, he could always just buy a printer and do it himself. And that's kind of what's important here, is that these companies do not have an obligation to support, to allow anything you want to happen on their services.
Yeah.
They have an obligation to their shareholders, ultimately. And if their shareholders say, hey, you're going to lose money because you're courting extremists and working with them, then that's against their values. That's literally against what they should be doing.
So, do you think the criticism of Facebook is fair, though? Only now does Facebook decide that its site has been used for ill, and it took Wednesday for that to happen. Are they too late to the game?
I absolutely. They're years late to the game. And, you know, I sometimes shrug my shoulders and think, well, better late than never. And, you know, but I think what's important here is really what happens next. I really don't care about the debate about President Trump anymore, as I've written about CNET. I think we need to think about the next step. What happens with the next world leader who is using the internet to incite violence? And by the way, we already have one. There's President Duterte in Philippines, which Reuters and the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times have done amazing reporting talking about how he's used the internet to send his supporters to literally lock people up in jail and kill them. And these types of things need to be addressed and dealt with.
Yeah.
The United Nations did a study of how the genocide happened in Myanmar 3 years ago, and they found that Facebook played a determining role in a genocide. It is time these people take accountability for what happened.
Ian Schur writes with enthusiasm about issues like this at CNET.com. And actually, I have more questions along these lines. We're out of time today. But let's get back here this week or next week and pick it up here a little later on.
Absolutely.
CNET.com. Ian Schur, a frequent guest on the Wintrust Business Lunch, joining us today just to sort of answer a couple of those questions.